This is the Andres Segovia Show.
Welcome, everyone, to the program. On today's episode, I'm going to be reviewing The Tomorrow War. Yes, sirree, bop. If it looks a little different than my usual setup for my regular episodes, that's because I am doing this live for those of you that have been watching Tech Talk Live. So it looks a little different, and I don't apologize for it. My episode of Tech Talk Episode 5, I was talking about the Nintendo Switch and a foldable phone that looks pretty cool from Samsung. And this gets the Z Fold 3. And I had a chance to geek out. I even had my polo with my hero on it, with my name etched on it. It was a gift from my father. Pretty awesome. So that's why it's a little different. And like, you know what? Why don't I ride the adrenaline of all this nerding out stuff and just take a time to talk about this? And I'm doing it. So let us talk about The Tomorrow War. So this isn't the first time I'm reviewing things. Normally when I do this for the Critic Corners, you can check that out at www.universalglobal.com, where you can go to Off the Record. When you click there, you'll be able to pull up and see if this thing loads. There we go. The Critic Corners, where I do my movie stuff, reviews and such. But this is one of those rare episodes where I do this publicly. But if you want to see anything and everything all about me, that is my website. So I recommend you check that out. Without further ado, though, I want to talk about The Tomorrow War. So I'm going to do it like this. One is just a spoiler-free review. And two, spoiler. So I'm trying to keep this as condensed as possible, and also because I'm recommending you to watch it. So I don't want to be taking up more of a time that you could be spending it watching this movie. So just to make sure it's not just my boring self always on the screen here, I have this on mute so you'll be able to see this playing in the background. I'm just making sure that this thing isn't too distracting for myself. So the tomorrow war, let me set up the premise while the trailer is running. It's the end of the world, I think 30 years from now. So the future is about 500,000 people worldwide that remain. These aliens have showed up and started eradicating humanity. And with only 500,000 humans remaining, they don't have enough soldiers to fight this off. So they travel to the past to basically draft people from the past that I guess are already deceased in that future of certain point in time, that they're able to go help fight the war effort. But they can only send them like at a week at a time, something like that. And then they're sent back if they're not killed in action. So that's basically the premise of it. I guess find a solution to save the future. Where have I heard that? Oh, suddenly I'm thinking about Saw Gerrera from Rogue One, save the rebellion. But that's not the same thing. So what I have to say, this movie is expensive. I don't know exactly how much they filmed during quarantine, but this movie was pretty expensive. And for the most part, it looked it. So without giving away too much of the plot, because I don't like giving away the plot, especially plot points, what I will say is that the trailer is spoiling. So this is the trailer that's in the background. Good thing there's no sound effects on any of these. I never even saw the trailer when I saw the movie. So if you want to just cover up one side of the screen, if you can. But what I have to say is, let me start off with the spoiler-free stuff would be, I guess, let me start with the crew. The crew that ended up doing this, I think it was well shot. The direction that was well paced for the most part, even though I maybe felt that there are some scenes that felt out of place, particularly at the beginning. They were setting it up pretty early on that this is a scenario you're going to face, and well, whatever. But I think that's the end of the trailer. So let me, are they spoiling a joke here? I think. Yeah. All right. So I'll leave it there. So I'll pause it there and get back to myself talking about this. So the direction is pretty good. I, for the most part, I like the cinematography. Again, I'm wondering how much of this was filmed during the lockdowns, because I would say that's pretty seamless in a way. I mean, there's a lot of scenes where there's very few characters on screen, but of course there's some epic moments where there's a lot more cast on screen at the same time. And so I don't know if there was any trade-offs there, because I must say, even though I didn't see it, I'm interested in watching it only for the visuals. And that's with respects to the Zack Snyder zombie movie that came out on Netflix, because there's something to be said about what was done with that. I know the story. I know it's pathetic. It's laughable. This is what happens when you let Zack Snyder do Zack Snyder. Yeah, I know. But what is not talked about is seemingly the actress, a comedian actress that was that doesn't seem like it, they can hold their own with the rest of the cast. What I found out that that actress was brought in to replace another actor. And basically, this actress was not on screen with everybody else. You know how difficult it is to digitally erase someone that's no longer there and replacing it with someone that's predominantly shot on the green screen with different lighting all entirely? How do you take that person and then start painting over to make the frame look like it's within frame? And almost everybody that has seen it has missed that point. So I think it's a visual achievement that's worth exploring for that reason alone. So I would probably watch that movie mostly for the visual sake, because like, holy smokes, that's an achievement right there, because that thing went way over my head. I actually saw that on Corridor, or the Corridor crew. They're the ones that pointed it out. I'm like, whoa, snap, man. There's something to be said about the movie visually there. So with respect to the visuals on this movie, The Tomorrow War, I think they were pretty well done for the most part. Of course, you have to understand in this day and age, there's a lot of CGI. But the CGI, I think, will hold up for the most part, particularly because I did watch it in Ultra HD, so that actually is more telling when you have those detailed white spikes, as they call it, the aliens, that were pretty cool. Now, I didn't see the trailer, so I didn't know what anything like this looked like. So if these were the trailers that Amazon was putting out there, then that's unfortunate, because I felt that trailer was just filled with spoilers. Like, dude, why you give away the whole movie, it seems? But yeah, now with respects to the cast, Chris Pratt was Chris Pratt, and everyone else that was cast in it, some actors, a lot of actors actually that I don't know, they held up their own really, really well, including some of the characters that are positioned in the future. I think they did very well, particularly with the little screen time they had left. Now, before I enter the spoiler review, I want to mention that what convinced me to watch this is that some people were saying that this movie reminded them of a mishmash of Starship Troopers and maybe a little bit of Independence Day, mostly Starship Troopers. Like Starship Troopers, that's why I ended up watching it. I'm like, okay, I'll watch something that kind of has a vibe of Starship Troopers. No, I would say for about 80% of the movie, I had zero Starship Trooper vibes on that thing. But I will talk about where it was for why people say Starship Troopers in the spoiler section. So here's where I'm going to enter the spoiler section. You have a 5-second countdown to turn this thing down or off or skip to the end of the video. Spoilers! There's your warning. Okay, so to me, the movie is a mash of Battle Los Angeles and Starship Troopers, which I think is more fitting. Because Battle Los Angeles, I'm going to spoil it right here. For those of you that haven't seen it, the setup is aliens crash down on Earth, wipe out most of the Earth. The last bastion and the last stand happens to be in Los Angeles, hence Battle Los Angeles. And it's the Marines that have to basically push back and take over, or at least help fight back and turn the tide of the war, considering that it's basically the last standing major city. So that's basically the exact same premise in The Tomorrow War. In the future section, once the draftees from the past are taken to the future in through this time link or whatever the heck it is, so when they're transported to the future, just like in Battle Los Angeles, the Marine characters had a mission to go do, and then they get sidetracked. It's like, okay, your mission has changed. We're gonna bomb this entire area. You guys need to get to this police station where there's some civilians that are trapped there, and exfil them back to the forward operating base, the FOB, before they level it with airstrikes. That's basically the premise of Battle Los Angeles for the most part. That's literally a scene for scene moment in The Tomorrow War, where the characters are sent to the time link. Something fails or in transit, and when they get there, it's like, hey, we have an issue. There's a laboratory. We need you to get there. This whole place is going to be airstriked. Like, haven't I seen this before? So the entire thing about going through the streets of Los Angeles, or in this case, in Tomorrow War being Miami, felt very, very familiar to, which is why I say, if you've seen Battle Los Angeles, odds are you're going to feel like this was a total rip of Battle Los Angeles, with one major exception, though. The major exception being that you can actually grasp coherently what's happening. A lot of people have complained that they couldn't follow the action scenes, probably blame the editing and the cinematography for Battle Los Angeles because it was so confusing. I actually think the confusion set up by cinematography and the editing was done on purpose to show the chaos that it was for the soldiers, the Marines in that scene, for what they were facing. So I thought that did a pretty good job establishing it, but for an audience perspective to follow the story, they were confused as hell. So like, oh, what is happening? No, they couldn't get any of that. Well, the similarities for the most part do fade out of it for a little bit, because there's eventual, the next act in the film of the Tomorrow War is where everybody draws comparison to Star Trek Troopers. It's basically finding the brainy bug from Star Trek Troopers. If you know what I'm talking about, you know. I won't get into any more details but that. But it was almost like another a scene for scene setup of that very thing, with the exception that this movie, The Tomorrow War, fleshes out what happens after they capture that brainy bug. In this case, the queen of the white spikes in A Tomorrow War. And then it lends itself to what I felt was an entire other movie towards the very end, which I think was a great end cap. If anything, this movie could have been like a mini series. They could have broken it up into 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 episodes. It could be like a Snyder Cut kind of thing, like the 4-hour epic. It could have been something like that to flesh out a lot more story, fill in some gaps, and build up more tension. But the latter part of the film, which maybe it was 30 minutes, I forget what it was, they did feel like they were trying to rush through the plot points. And you know what? Let's just get to the point where the characters succeed and just move on to the next point in the plot. And that was okay with me. That was okay, because this is one of those movies you're not looking for a masterpiece. That doesn't mean I'm doxing it, okay? I'm not trying to say anything negative about it in that respect. It's an enjoyable movie, and the audience scores are showing it, because it's one of those things where you can turn off your brain just like after you have this stressful day, and you can just sit back, relax, and enjoy a movie, even if you have seen it before in another way, shape, manner, or form. But for the most part, I think this was a kind of graphic PG-13 movie. There were some moments they're like, dude, are we watching like the R-rated or an uncut version, director's cut? Because that was pretty graphic. Yeah, those white spikes are no joke. And they do things to humans that we probably only seen on Star Trek Troopers. So that wasn't a PG-13 movie. There's no way I'm going to watch it with my kids until they're considerably older. So it was just the wife and I that saw this. And for the most part, it was pretty enjoyable. So without saying anything more, this is where I'll leave it. And for those of you that have been watching this, thank you so much. That's not live, but for those of you that are watching this episode when it goes up, I'll do my best to timestamp it so you can skip the spoiler section and just get to the conclusion. So with that, that's where I'll leave it. Thank you so much for watching this episode of the Andres Segovia Show, Critic Corner Edition, where I get to review a movie. And I hope you enjoyed it. Stay tuned for my review of Tenet. Hey, you made it to the end of the episode. Hopefully that means you liked it. By all means, show your support by hitting like down there. And if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the channel. And if you know anybody that will benefit from the content that I display here, by all means, please share it with those that you know. And I'll see you, and hopefully them, in the next one.